You will be tempted throughout your life. Couldn't agree with you more. But the more you ask and the more you speak the name of Jesus, the easier it gets. So for these people in distress and those people with praises this morning, and for Joanne's family and for all those that we mentioned very first thing this morning that are experiencing these unbelievable things happening in their life, some of them are great and some of them are tragic. Can't we take time to pray? That's part of our worthy walk that we're called to do. When Paul says, walk worthy of your calling, he means in all ways. And so if you're asked to pray, then do it. And these people that wrote these things down this morning said, would you pray for me? And that's why I reminded Jeremiah, and I get to pick on him this morning, that's why I reminded him that our deal was, you're accepting a call, I've accepted a call, we need to pray for one another, right? And for those of you who have prayer requests and silent requests this morning, let's pray together. And Brother Jeff, I'm praying for you. I know you're in pain. Lord God, in Jesus' name, hear our prayer. Thank you for putting us here at this place in time. It's incredible, Lord, that we're in this beautiful land of freedom. And yes, many have sacrificed, as we've mentioned this morning already, that sometimes blood has to be spilled in order for people to be saved. And we honor all those who have given their lives in service in every imaginable way, from those who served around the world to those who served here at home and those that are still serving. And for all of those in the service industry, whatever that might be, whether they be nurses or janitors, it doesn't matter. They're still serving. And so, Lord, help us to realize that our prayers are important and you do need to hear from us, and that this prayer time is part of our holy calling. And I thank you, Lord, that you have already heard our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. This walk that we have with Christ is a walk that is looked at, and it's circumspect, and I'm going to explain that, by the entire world. You know what the circumference of something is, right? It's the distance all the way around it, right? So when something is circumspect, it means that people are looking at you from every angle possible. It's a 360 look. We're supposed to turn, according to this Bible, we're supposed to do a 180, turn away from sin and turn, that's putting off the old man, putting on the new man, right? That's a 180. But be sure, young people, old people, every people, be sure that the world is looking at you 360. That means everywhere you go, everything you do, everything you say, everything, the world is watching you. If you profess to be a Christian. And that is something that holds people back from coming to this altar. It always has, it always will. Some people are afraid if they make that step, if they take that holy walk, if they walk according, just one step, walk according to the call that's been on our life, they're afraid that they'll be judged for that forevermore. And that they might have to turn away from some of the things that they've done in the past. You know what I say? Get in. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Make up your mind. Come on. It's worth it. Some people are afraid that if they do that in church, then they'll have to say they're a Christian somewhere else. Well, yeah, that's the point. The point is that we leave this building and we're not ashamed to tell others that we believe in Jesus Christ. Worship happens here. Education happens here. Equipping happens here. But ministry occurs outside. We can love each other and hug on each other and cry with each other and rejoice with each other all you want here, and it's good, and I love to do it. But what's important is what happens out there. Walk worthy of your call. Paul doesn't stop there talking to this church at Ephesus. He says, how we're supposed to do it is this. We're supposed to do it with all lowliness, with all gentleness, with all long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What's supposed to hold us together? That's the glue. If you'll read that again, if you'll look at it, if you'll listen again, what's supposed to hold us together, all of you, clear back there in the back row, even for you guys, even for Colin. Hi, Colin. Good to see you, man. Hey, the thing that's supposed to hold us together is the peace of Christ. The peace. We say, you know, the call to arms in 1776, and all that had to happen to get us to this point right here. One if by sea, two if by land, all that stuff. We've been called to wars, we've been called to famines, we've been called to everything else. But we are also being called, and most importantly, called to be the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a holy calling. And we're supposed to walk as, you know what? His representative. When you leave these doors, I told you, it's a circumspect thing. You'll be looked at 360 in every way, shape, or form. If you will admit that you're a Christian. If you don't, if you don't admit that to someone, at least in your life, you'll just blend into the crowd. You'll just be vanilla. You might even be Milli Vanilli, if some of you know who that is. That's that word, those two words, you can look it up in the dictionary now. I think it's synonymous with fake. Faker. Y'all know who Milli Vanilli was? Some of you young people, what's he talking about? Explain it to your children. You know what? I love that music. But it was all fake. It was all canned stuff. You need to admit who you are and then walk in the bond. To be bound, you think that is handcuffing you, but the bonds of peace don't handcuff you. They free you up. Peace in every way frees you up to have a special relationship with God first, and with everyone else in your life. It's the bond that you want. Paul says he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Who wouldn't? Well, there's a lot of people that don't want to be a prisoner of Christ. Those are the people that are afraid to admit who they are. There's a lot of people who will admit to being a Christian in church and take communion and pray and do all the things, and they leave this building or any other building. I'm not saying you guys. But they'll leave buildings and places of worship, and they'll never, ever, ever be recognized as a Christian because they're afraid to. Are you afraid to be recognized as a Christian? Paul goes on to say this. We probably won't get out of here today at all. You're willing to stay, right? Okay. I have a little water left. If we're going to be unified and walk worthy of our calling, Paul says you have to do this. He says you have to believe that there's one body. Verse 4, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is New Testament. We love it when you say you want to come and be baptized in the water, because then we get to meet with you and explain what that means. It's the beginning of your testimony, and it's the beginning of your walk worthy of the calling. It's your chance to get in the water and say to everyone, I'm not afraid to do this, even though you might be, but I'm here in front of all of these people, and I want to stand up, and I want to say that I am a Christian, and it's your first step towards completing the great commission of Jesus Christ. His command is that we go everywhere and tell everyone that we are bound to Jesus Christ and that we can be forgiven because of His blood. And it starts right here at Vanderhoof or Belpre or Coolville or Little Hocking or Reedsville or wherever you're from. It starts right there after you do that here. That's a water baptism, and that's your walk. But the baptism that you need, the only one you need, is the baptism by God's Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's one Lord, one God, three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One Lord, one faith. Faith that He can save you if you believe in Him and will admit it. And one baptism that you're given the moment that you have faith to believe. That's why Paul says there's one Lord, period. Only one person to pray to. The three in one God. There's only one faith that we're given by God to believe. And there's only one baptism. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ on an airplane 33,000 feet in the air, and you're sincere about it, and that plane crashes the next second, you're just as saved as anyone else. But while you are here, and if it is available to you, you need to get in the waters of baptism to start proving to the rest of the world that you are a Christian and you believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's practice made perfect by the command of Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus' command. And it's because He said so. Right, Michael? Right. We'll be having a baptism, hopefully a bunch of them, very soon here. We're almost done for today, but I would like you to do something really special with me and turn on over to chapter 5 in this book of Ephesians. And we'll be done, and we'll grab our children. Remember, I told you we're giving each of them sharp scissors and teaching them how to run with them today. Excuse me. Chapter 5, in verse 8. This is my life story in one short sentence, and the life story of everyone who will admit that they are a sinner and need salvation. And I'm not calling anybody a bad person. I'm saying that my Bible teaches me is if we have not walked worthy of the call upon us, and if we have not always honored God, then we've sinned. If we haven't done what we're supposed to do and loved our fellow man and walked in peace, then we've sinned. And sin is sin is sin is sin. And it doesn't matter what label you put on it. And some people spend endless hours in pulpits complaining about one sin or another sin. I will never do that. It's not my call. I would just call sin for what it is. It's sin. Look at the Ten Commandments, and then look at the 11th commandment, or 1A, however you want to look at it. Put God first and love one another, and if you do that, you got all the rest of the commandments solved. But somewhere along the line, in each of our lives, we have sinned against God, and we need forgiven. And when you sin against another person, you sinned against God, by the way, because each and every person is made by God in His image. It's that simple. So here in the book of Ephesians is daylight. It's an awakening. It's something that we must do. And it says, for you were once in darkness. You can rephrase that. You can write it in there if you want. You were once in sin. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. If we had more time, I would have those who are really young and healthy do something for me. I'd have you come on up here if you would and close your eyes and try to walk a straight line down this aisleway without putting your hands out, without doing any, just close your eyes and walk to that door back there. Without stumbling, without being afraid, can you do it? The most nimble among you, can you do it, Joe? Huh? Did you say close? I can do all things. Boy, better watch out. When we are in darkness, we are afraid and we stumble and we do things that we shouldn't do. We reach out for things that we shouldn't reach for. But man, when you're in the light, when you turn that glorious light on, everything changes, doesn't it? Everything, the world gets in perspective. You're no longer like you're on board a ship in the ocean. You're no longer worrying about where your feet are going to go. You're walking in the light. It's really simple. If you've been called and if you've accepted it, walk like it. Talk like it. Putting away the tractor night before last. Somebody said, looks like somebody's been doing a lot of brush hogging out there. That would be me. It was about 2 in the morning when I finally shut it down. And the bugs were horrible, so I shut every light off that I could. And I turned my phone light on just to be able to get out of the tractor and lock the door. And a million, zillion, quadrillion bugs attacked me. And I had to hold it out like this, and then they were attacking my arm. And the story's not about me, the story's about the light. God's light is attractive if you'll just realize it. It's about peace and mercy and forgiveness and love. It's about putting on bonds and agreeing to love one another. And it's walking in the light of God that gives you a stable foundation. And if you'll do that, when you switch on the light, other people will be attracted to the light that you have in your life. And we are called to be children of light because of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.